wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got now.
Sakhilal kalandar mast mast
Sakhilal kalandar mast mast
Dulelal kalandar mast mast Dam mast kalandar mast mast Dam mast kalandar mast Mera virud hai dam dam ali ali
Mera virud hai dam dam ali ali
Sakhilal kalandar mast mast
Sakhilal kalandar mast mast
Dulelal kalandar mast mast
Yeah, yeah. Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. Little song called Must Must. Good morning, everybody. Bruce McDonald here. McDonald in the morning. It's Friday, October 9th. Kind of finished a book yesterday, or a book project, a reading project, let's call it, something I wanted to cover. Wingmakers material. I hope you enjoyed that. It's one of the freakiest narratives out in the world. If you want to do any follow-up work on it, I suggest you read it. And there's a great video out there on Brian Scott's website. He does a lot of, I don't know how to describe it, like spiritual and esoteric topics he takes on his website, his YouTube site. And he does one video called Who Are the Wingmakers? Very interesting, very interesting. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoy what I'm doing here with McDonald in the morning. There will be no book started today. Can't do it. Not enough time. A waste of a Friday. So we're just going to do a show, man. We're going to talk about anything going on in the world, anything you want to talk about, you want to call in. It's 864-810-1039. Once again, 864-810-1039. Or you can holler at Seen That Tinker 1, SEENTHATTINKER, number 1. Seen That Tinker 1 is my Skype handle. Yeah. Give me a holler and we'll take it from there. So, look, what is there to talk about, man? I mean, the drama bell has been taken to the highest pitch, right? We can't get any more dramatic than this. It just is what it is. And, you know, you're either getting it or you're not. This is a pretty dramatic time to be alive. And decisions are being made here that are huge and epic. Now, what I wonder is, what about the rest of the world? I wonder about, you know, whether they're going through their own little moments, right? You know, because we pivot off the U.S. so much. I'm not sure that's correct anymore. I'm not sure that the world needs the U.S. to survive as much as it used to, right? I just don't know. I do know that everybody's caught up in the same systems, right? Same monetary system, same this, same that, like all of this stuff, right? So everybody's caught up in that stuff. Nothing more we can do there. Everyone's going to, everybody's going to get twisted up in the wind there. Everybody. No escaping it, man. Right? No escaping it. Everybody's all caught up in the same thing. Where the money at? What's going to happen to the money? It was such a simple thing, really, to maintain, right? Like these human systems, like, you know, that we use for social organization, they're really not that hard to maintain, right? The one thing that they require more than anything else is integrity. You just have to run them with integrity. And this is the thing about human-created systems. If they're run with integrity, they'll go for a long time. If they're corrupted, they won't go that long, right? And we look at all the systems that are folding in now. You know, the money system is crapping out. Either that or we're going back to the Stone Age financially, one or the other. But everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's blowing money like a drunken sailor now. Everyone's regarding finance as though it's fiction. Everybody. China, European Union, everybody. Now, how about this Brexit story, man? What's going on there? That's been a shadow story in the Trump narrative since day one, right? Right since his first election. There's been this Brexit thing going on in the background. You know, what the hell's going on there, man? When's that going to come about? Why are America and the United States setting themselves apart? Why are they pulling out of all global institutions? Is there a spaceship coming down here to pick people up? And they got to be off on their own? Is that what's going on here? Because I don't get it any other way. I don't get what's going on. Lovely day here in Costa Rica. Not a drama up on the mountain. I got to let my peon go. Can't hold his liquor. He had a warning. I don't know what it is, folks, but the booze is the big thing down here in Costa Rica. The booze. The booze, I don't know how to describe it, man. People get possessed by the booze down here, man. Like howling at the moon drunk. And I've never seen anybody get drunk the way Ticos get drunk. Tico is Costa Rican. Never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, they get piss drunk, man. Piss drunk. And then they just go somewhere else. They're fully cognizant. Their motor skills don't abandon. Maybe their balance a little bit, but it's like something else comes in, man. I've never seen anything like it. I've only seen that over here. People get that liquored up, and it's like being drunk is an excuse to be someone that you've been fantasizing about being, and you just sort of call it in, and then things go south, and then there's usually violence associated as well. Usually violence. Not always, but usually violence. And that's the way it goes. It's a very, 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 very unfortunate situation. Well, all right, man. I don't know what to do today. You know, I just don't know what to do today. Don't know what's going on. Don't know where to take this show. Don't know what to talk about. Everything's been beaten to death. It just is what it is. It's a waiting game now, right? Totally, totally, totally a waiting game. What is going to happen? What is going to happen with this world? What is going to happen in this election? I don't know, man. I don't know. There's something going on in this election I don't understand either. I mean, basically, let me put it to you very simply. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world now that I just don't understand. I just don't get it. Right? Now, it could be me. It could be I'm getting slow. I'm getting dumb. Right? I doubt it, though. Honestly, all vainglory aside, I doubt that's what's going on here. I don't understand these things because I don't think that they are understandable. Sometimes things are just not understandable. You know, a set of circumstances will come out in a certain time frame, and it's completely and utterly unintelligible. Like you can't understand it, right? You don't know what's going on with it, and that's the way I feel about this whole election thing, man. This whole election thing. It seems inconceivable to me that Biden and Harris could win. You know? But there they are, talking like they're going to win. What's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen? No matter who wins. There's no path to safety here. There's no path to stability. The divide in America right now is greater than an election can resolve. There. I found words to wrap around the situation. How about that, folks? Yeah, the divide in America now is greater than an election can solve. It really is a kind of a bloodlust out there. But the people bringing it about, right? The people most likely to bring about a violent situation, from where I'm sitting and what I'm observing, they seem the least capable of dealing with a violent situation. You know? I find that bizarre as well. Right? But, you know, people are just not themselves, right? I guess that's one way of looking at it. You could say it that way. You know, people are not themselves these days. They're just under a lot of stress, you know? Very, very lot of stress. Well, I think I'm going to do a little bit of Whitney Webb here from Unlimited Hangout, right? Whitney Webb is a great independent journalist. She's done some fantastic stories. And she's doing something now called Unlimited Hangout. Quite good. And she's got all kinds of stuff written here, man. All kinds of long investigative series. All kinds of stuff. Let's do one of these. Here we go. Oh, this is old. March 23rd, 2020. No, that's too old. I want to get something more. October 8th, 2020? That's yesterday. Wow. Okay, this is interesting. Okay. So this is, this came out yesterday. The headline is Secretive HHS AI Platform to Predict U.S. COVID-19 Outbreaks Weeks in Advance. And again, she does a lot of reporting on, okay, folks, I'll just say it. There's this thing going on where a lot of the deepest intelligence work in the U.S., like especially at the computer gathering and computer processing and stuff like that, most of it has been offshored to Israeli companies now. Most of what we would call cybersecurity and all of this sort of stuff, the security of the United States is being run by Israel now. Yeah, scary but true. Get your head around that if you can, right? So, a new AI-powered module known as HHS Vision has been added to the controversial and secretive HHS Protect system for amassing data related to COVID-19. By year's end, this opaque yet increasingly influential system is set to predict COVID-19 outbreaks without traditional testing. Oh boy, AI and COVID-19. AI and COVID-19. Wow, it's like a match made in heaven. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, September 24th to be precise, the Department of Health and Human Services, which is the HHS, folks, Health and Human Services, HHS. The formal long name is Department of Health and Human Services. They published a solicitation, we'll call it, for the creation of a new early warning system that would, in their words, detect and track traces of the coronavirus in community wastewater. It could compile the data and conduct predictive analysis in order to guide reopening and mitigation strategies, and also serve as a leading indicator for local reemergence events to enable rapid containment. Yeah, and so the Health and Human Services, they were looking for a contractor to design the new COVID-19 detection system. You know, and they wanted to have the system operational in at least 42 U.S. states by the end of the year. First phase of this proposed project involved testing and reporting from approximately 100 wastewater treatment plants across the United States, covering an estimated 10% of the population. HHS, per the solicitation, reserves the option to expand the program to include up to 320 wastewater treatment plants, around 30% of the population. The solicitation claimed that wastewater testing would allow HHS officials to predict new COVID-19 cases 5 to 11 days before an outbreak. The initiative appears to be an expansion of a new health tool announced last month by HHS and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this is called the National Wastewater Surveillance System. This tool was originally intended to help public health officials better understand the extent of COVID-19 infections in communities. Per the recent HHS solicitation, however, the wastewater surveillance system will be now used to predict outbreaks before they occur and to guide rapid containment efforts in at-risk communities. Man, you just could not turn the heat up any more in the world, eh? Like, if you wanna unsettle people, move them around quickly, right? Just barge into a community and move them around quickly. Talk to anyone who was evacuated in California, even if they went home in 24 or 48 hours. Talk to anyone who was evacuated about rapid movement. Ask them what they think about the rapid movement. You'll find that interesting. Interesting and edifying. Mm-hmm. Rapid movement. At the core, the very core of this new early warning system is a secretive data platform that HHS launched earlier this year called HHS Protect. And they describe the HHS, the Health and Human Services, describes Protect as, and I quote, a secure platform for authentication, amalgamation, and sharing of healthcare information that combines more than 200 disparate data sources from federal, state, and local governments, as well as private healthcare industry. Only in America, folks. Only in America. HHS Protect is largely built from software obtained from the controversial data mining company Palantir. Wow. Whose creation was funded by the Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel. He's a thief, you know. He's a thief in Northern Ireland. No, he's not. But Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel. And, oh, get this, and the CIA's very own InQtel. Yeah, InQtel. In addition, Palantir's only client during its early years, from 2005 to 2008, was the CIA. And the agency offered guidance for the development of Palantir's products, including those that the HHS Protect system is based on. Palantir is currently a major contractor to all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA, as well as the Department of Homeland Security, the U.S. military, and quite a few more, because I just told you there's friggin' 21 security agencies. Yeah. Oh, sorry, 17 U.S. security agencies. It's a lot of security. Do you feel secure? Do you feel secure? It's like wearing 8 diapers just in case there's a little seepage. You know, I was a little worried. I used to wear just only 3 diapers, and then for total peace of mind, I strapped on a 4th. Do you feel secure? All 17 U.S. intelligence agencies. You feel good? Do you feel like a widow giggle? Do you feel good? Do you feel comfortable? You feel all tucked in, like you're ready to go to sleep? Boogeyman's out? Nothing in the closet? Nothing under the bed? You feel good, America? Palantir remains heavily involved, like active, dug in, balls deep, heavily involved in HHS Protect. They've done a lot more than merely supply the foundational software. Yeah, here's what I'm talking about. In May, HHS said that the department's partnership with Palantir through HHS Protect is ongoing. And the project's goals include trying to anticipate where the virus is heading. One report regarding the HHS Palantir partnership published in May noted that it was unclear which specific Palantir products Health and Human Services was using. The report also noted that while the government was not currently collecting personal information through HHS Protect, it plans to. Yeah, you heard that right, folks. It plans to. It's going to through your wastewater. Oh my God, you can't make this stuff up. Health and Human Services, right? Wastewater treatment. You know what that is, eh, folks? Wastewater, that's your toilet water. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, your filthy toilet water. We'll see you on the other side.
From this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Let's double down on a little Radiohead to start the second quarter. Folks, Moonshaped Pool, Radiohead, song called Dexdark. And yeah, dig it. What's not to like, man? Let's get back to our HHS story, Health and Human Services. So CIA is looking at your poop, folks, looking at the wastewater. They got AI out there now that's going to be able to reconstitute a stool and tell the police where you ate, where you were 48 hours in the past. Of course, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm joking. But it is true that the CIA is going into the wastewater. Yeah, okay. In July, Science magazine reported that on behalf of the HHS project, Palantir is aggregating information on the spread of the new coronavirus. On behalf of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, drawing on more than 225 data sets, including demographic statistics, community-based tests, and a wide range of state-provided data. It's unclear exactly what data is being fed into this system, and if all are relevant to the officially stated purpose of the human health, HHS project, as it relates to the government's COVID-19 response. In July, HHS Protect was also heavily criticized by several public health experts and epidemiologists, among others, because of the sudden decision by HHS to force U.S. hospitals to provide all data on COVID-19 cases and patient information directly into HHS Protect through another contractor called Teletracking. Ooh, Teletracking. Such information was previously reported to a CDC-managed system called the National Healthcare Safety Network. A few weeks later, in late August, the Trump administration said it would revoke Medicare and Medicaid funding for any U.S. hospital that chose not to comply with feeding all of their COVID-19 patient data and test results into the HHS Protect ecosystem. So the Trump administration's backing that 100%, folks. 100%. Since it was launched in April, HHS Protect has been controversial and a critical part of behind-the-scenes decision-making by top officials, federal and state, related to COVID-19 policy. They're using it, folks. For instance, the Center for Public Integrity recently reported that much of the basic COVID-19 related data contained within the HHS Protect system remains secret and is sometimes obscured even from local public health officials. That report also noted that the White House Task Force's secret recommendations to governors use HHS Protect data on cities' test positivity rates. But the White House does not release those reports, adding that this national data set is still nowhere to be found on any federal website. Dum, dum, dum. HHS Protect has, however, done much more than just inform these secret recommendations from the White House Coronavirus Task Force. For instance, the Palantir-powered HHS Protect system also identifies coronavirus patients to be used in clinical vaccine trials, determines how the federal government distributes the antiviral drug Remdesivir, and informs the outbreak warnings. That task force member and White House advisor, Dr. Deborah Birx, privately communicates to cities across the country. The Center for Public Integrity further noted HHS Protect allows officials to analyze, visualize, and map information so they can see how weakening local health ordinances could affect restaurant spending and coronavirus deaths in mid-sized cities across America. In other words, it is essentially a tool that allows officials to micromanage every aspect of COVID-19 response as well as predict the economic impacts of lockdowns and other policies related to COVID-19. Wow. Wow. The predictive aspect of HHS Protect is not only set to get a major boost from the new wastewater early warning system. Early warning from the shitter, from the sewers, folks. It's the sewer early warning system developed by Palantir, a company nurtured and suckled by the CIA in the 2000s. The CIA was their exclusive client for 4 years before they became a more public company. Yeah, that's a mushroom corporate cycle. You know, matured in the dark and lived off shit. There you go. CIA nurtured company Palantir, folks. Now taking care of your health care. Trump cleaned out this CIA already. It's all cleaned out now. He's safe to work with. Donald make friends now in the CIA. All good now. Everybody play good now. Everybody play nice now. CIA is a big part of the Trump administration now. Handling the COVID virus. Any of this make any sense to you? Any of this ringing true with you folks out there? Just putting it all into context for you. Just putting it all into context. Man from outside of Washington come into Washington to clean up Washington. The swamp, drain the swamp, clean the sewers. And now he seems to be partnered with the very entity that emerged out of the sewers, the CIA. And they're taking care of your health. With a company they nurtured like a mutant offspring and then released upon the world as a reluctant messiah. Palantir. 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 According to Jose Arrieta, the former HHS chief information officer who abruptly, and let me just double underline that, abruptly, resigned in August. HHS Vision uses pre-written algorithms to simulate behaviors and forecast possible outcomes. Through supervised machine learning. Yeah, supervised machine learning. Arrieta also stated, he abruptly resigned in August. Stated that HHS Vision does not include any software components purchased from Palantir. Wow. That's interesting. During his tenure at HHS, Arrieta was a staunch advocate of HHS using AI, blockchain, and other emerging technologies, and wanted to use the agency as a testing bed for these technologies, particularly in collaboration with the Pentagon. Jose's a team player, folks. He wanted to be on the team, man. Jose Arrieta, former HHS chief information officer, abruptly resigned in August. But he wanted to play. He thought technology could work. Aside from Arrieta's comments, there's little public information about HHS Vision and its capabilities. What is known is that the effort to create HHS Vision began in July when HHS awarded the contract for its creation to Vertosoft, a relatively small contracting firm that focuses on the sale of emerging technologies to the public sector. Lobby group, can you say lobby? Technology lobby. Anybody ever thought about that before? You know, lobbying's always been in the money sector. But technology is such a wild card in terms of its valuation and its non-monetary valuation, right? That it's going to become a major part of the lobbying sector as well. Technology lobbying. There's a Bruce McDonald prediction right there. Well, it's going on right now. Whitney basically tipped me off. Why am I calling it a Bruce McDonald prediction? Sorry about that. You get where I'm going with this, right? Yeah. Vertisoft and its executive team have rather cozy ties to tech giant IBM, as Vertisoft markets IBM software to the U.S. government. And Vertisoft's current president and vice president for federal sales are both former top IBM executives in its public sector division, IBM Federal. IBM's role here is notable, as just last year, the CIA hired IBM Federal Vice President Julian Galina to serve as the intelligence agency's chief information officer. In that position, Galina oversees the CIA's modernization efforts, as well as making better use of the massive amount of data it possesses. Well, that's interesting, don't you think, folks? Yeah. You know, let me do a little IBM riff here, okay? Anything public-facing is kind of like what we'll call low-hanging fruit. It means they want you to contemplate that it's part of a conspiracy. That's what I mean by low-hanging fruit. It means that they want you to talk about these companies in context to intelligence and controlling populations and all these sorts of things, right? So front and center now are Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, all those public-facing companies that do the cool software that everybody knows, right? Everybody knows those companies because everybody uses their products. And everybody has thought that in terms of computer companies, the dominant players in the world are Microsoft and Apple. And that's only what I'm trying to tell you is that's only the public sector. IBM is huge. Not the public sector. What do I mean? What am I trying to say here? That's only at the consumer level, folks. Okay? When you take in institutional spending like governments and banks and their needs for mainframes and their need for mainframes and proprietary software and stuff like this, then suddenly the name IBM pops up everywhere. IBM, man. IBM runs all the banks. All banking backends in the world are IBM, folks. IBM, okay? They cornered the market in banking and specifically developed mainframe applications for banks to operate. And because, how did they do this, we might ask ourselves. Well, I mean, for banks to interoperate, somebody at the, at let's say level one, tier one, has to invest in something. And then because other banks want to maintain a communication relationship, a data communication relationship with this primary bank, they invest in the same technology so that they're all on the same platform and they can communicate easily. Mm-hmm. It's no more complicated than that in the banking world, folks. IBM is huge in banking. IBM is closer to being the offspring of the CIA than Microsoft or Apple. Absolutely. There's a lot about IBM that I could prepare a whole show on IBM. I've worked for them several times, by the way. They contract a lot. They put a lot of contracts in the market, right? Very interesting the way they do things. Yeah. So IBM's role here is notable. Just last year, the CIA hired IBM Federal President Julian Galina to serve as the intelligence agency's chief information officer. Wow. So the CIA hires directly from IBM. That's interesting too. Okay? It's interesting too. And smart sewers. You're not going to believe this, folks. You're not going to believe where this is going. Plans to add a national wastewater surveillance component to HHS Protect and its COVID-19 response efforts. CNBC commented that the solicitation appears designed for one company in particular, BioBot Analytics. BioBot Analytics was created initially at MIT and describes itself as the first company in the world to commercialize data from sewage. CNBC noted that BioBot recently claimed to have already partnered with wastewater treatment plants in 42 states that would monitor 10% of the U.S. population. And that analogous to the phase one goals of the new HHS program described in the solicitation. CNBC also pointed out that the solicitation not only states the contract is to be awarded to a woman-owned small business, as is BioBot, woman-owned, but also that the bid period was set to end the day after it was posted. An unusually short bid time. This is how they do stuff in Canada, folks. And the contract goes to a company owned by the Prime Minister's wife's brother or something like this. It's really, really, I can't believe he's still in office even, Trudeau. Can't even believe he's still in office. Though they now promote their wastewater surveillance and analysis as a promising approach for proactive outbreak monitoring, BioBot originally focused on analyzing sewage to determine the prevalence of drug use, particularly opioids, in the different areas of the country. The company previously collaborated with HHS for this purpose. BioBot's history clearly reveals that they plan to commercialize data from sewage in ways that go far beyond monitoring COVID-19. Well, that's interesting. In a scientific paper published in January of this year, before the company's pivot to testing for COVID-19 in wastewater, BioBot's team asserted that their service could provide a potential method to quantify community-level trends of opioid exposure beyond overdose data that could be used to detect patterns of opioid exposure and may ultimately provide information for opioid use disorder treatment and harm reduction programs. BioBot utilizes smart sewer selection and robotic wastewater collection. Is anybody else's skin crawling here? Is it just me? I mean, holy spamoli, man. Smart sewers, folks. Smart sewers. Robotic wastewater collection. You can't make this stuff up. An MIT project called Underworlds, yeah, that's the actual name, Underworlds, MIT, so it came out of the public sector universities. The direct precursor to BioBot notes that the data that BioBot now seeks to commercialize would offer not only insights on drug consumption or contagious disease outbreaks, but also information on community eating habits and genetic tendencies in order to develop individual readings of particular neighborhoods. Oh my God, folks. I mean, like, what is going on, man? You know, they can't stop a riot, this government in the United States, but they want to robotically analyze and collect your shit. I you tell me, man. What is going on here? What is going on here? Does it make any sense to you? This is the alien invasion, folks. Nano-harvesting fecal matter in wastewater. Welcome to the alien invasion. MIT's Underworlds and its commercial spinoff, BioBot, were praised in a 2019 book called Smart Cities in the Post-Algorithmic Era, as advancing one key dimensions of the smart city movement. By combining genomics, robotics, and urban planning, to tackle public health problems. Smart cities, folks. If a city uses biobots technology, the authors argued, it will be able to measure the effects of policy changes and other public health interventions, such as a sugar tax and bans on certain substances if too much of the wrong substance or evidence of unhealthy eating habits are identified by biobot-enabled smart sewers. I mean, I'm not making this up, folks. I'm actually reading this. You can go read it. It's on a Unlimited Hangout is Whitney Webb's new publication. It's online. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I dare you to even try. I mean, Monty Python couldn't come up with a skit like this. I dare them to even try. We'll see you on the other side. We'll be talking about all kinds of subterranean topics.
See it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're with Bruce McDonald on Friday, October 9th, 9:02 a.m. my time, 11:02 a.m. your time, if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, 8:02 a.m. your time, if you're in the Pacific Standard Time Zone. I don't know where I am, man. 9:02, wherever that is, right? What is this, Central Mountain? I don't know. I never get it. I never really care. But those are the people in our neighborhood, right? Our time neighborhood. Then you got the old upside down world there. The upside down we call Australia. The upside down, that Stranger Things world there, the portal to Australia, you know, in the underworld down there. Underworld. Well, I can hardly believe what I'm reading today. Like, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? Like, I mean, what is going wrong? What is going wrong? Why is the attention of all of these people in government on controlling populations rather than helping populations? I mean, what philosophical commitment are they under? What oath did they make to shepherd this system, this society in this way, to bring it to this point? It's absolutely mind-boggling, right? United States of America, where they'll spend $1 million per person protecting them annually, but they won't spend $10 to help you directly to buy you a Big Mac combo, to do anything immediate for you. It's all in the system. You got to go into the system to get the help. You know what I think, folks? I think the people outside the system despise the system. I think the street people, all those kinds of people, they hate the system. If you put something out, if you put a table of food out and you put a cross behind it or some other religious symbol, and you convince the street people that this is something for nothing, right? Like, come on in and get some cake. They'll go and eat your food and everything. But it's very hard to get them to see eye to eye with you. That's what happens when people leave the system, is they just don't trust it anymore. You know, it's like an upside down world, man, the system. I feel the same way now too, after living outside of the North American system for some time and largely living outside of the Costa Rican system, you know, the official government system, right? I live in a community where we only got electricity in 2014, right? A year later, I showed up here in 2015. So I'll come with the electricity. But I don't know if I'm finding the words to capture it, what I'm trying to say here. It's like almost the collective mind is supposed to be impersonal, right? Like the way institutions think is supposed to be impersonal. We're supposed to be able to follow their logic and follow their reason and say, hey, I would do the same thing in their position, right? Like if you wanted to collectivize for the betterment of people, one of the first things that you would do is create a food reserve, right? I mean, that's what kings and emperors did in the past. You know, that's why big city states like Rome and Cairo, Egypt were so important to these civilizations, because they had the grain stores. You know, so if there was any problem with food, because everything was so closely tied to agriculture back then, because remember, folks, you know, they didn't have refrigeration. Yeah. You believe that? They built all those pyramids without any worker getting a cold brew. Not one cold beer was served building those pyramids, folks. And you know why? They didn't have refrigeration. It's amazing what some societies get, right? Like the way technology and the operating system down here, because it's so expansive the way human consciousness can interact with this reality. You know, there's a way for interacting with it in the Golden Age. There's a way for interacting with it in the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age. And then there's always little ways of interacting with it on a generation-by-generation basis. And it's all rooted in the way we think and perceive, right? So it's, and what we put our collective attention around, you know, so back in the day of Egypt, they probably had some, I'll call it technology, but I think it would be more aptly called a technique for lifting those stones. You know, maybe they used sound. Maybe they created certain vibrations that could lift those stones. My point is that this particular society at that particular time had this technology, whatever technology it was that built the pyramids. They had it. They had it. Now, folks, I want you to think about people looking at our culture 3,000 years in the future. What did they have? What did the great American Empire have in the early part of the 21st century? What did they have? Well, it appears as though one of the main things is nanotechnology to examine your feces. You see where I'm going with this? Like, you know, what produces the principalities that watch over us? You know, what relationship, what spiritual relationship, what otherworldly relationship is creating this reality where we're putting, you know, nanobots into sewers for genomics? Genomics, folks, to study wastewater material, to get a sense of drug use patterns in that community, all these sorts of things. Now, you got to wonder, are they doing that to help them catch the people, you know, who are selling the drugs in these urban areas, creating the large drug presence in the wastewater? Or are they protecting their own market? You never know with these intelligence services anymore, do you? And that's the problem right there, is we just don't even know what these people are up to. We don't know whose interests they're serving. Everything they do is so weird. Okay? You know, and one of the weirdest stories out there, and it's been told in various chapters, the Promise Software story, Bill Hamilton, and all of this sort of stuff. And this is another chapter in the same story. It's the intelligence world's relationship with technology. It's really weird, right? Because everything they choose doesn't seem to be something that you would choose to protect people, right? Promise Software was not something you would choose to protect people. It's something you would choose to get an advantage over other people, other countries. I'll be damned if I know what's going on in this world right now, folks. The only thing I can say definitively is it ain't what they're telling us. What's going on in the world now? Well, there's an election in 3.5 weeks. Oh, I'll accept that as a time marker in our event timeline. But that's not what's going on now, the election. Like, what is... You know, when you try to figure out what's going on in the world, look at where all the energy's going. Always follow the energy. And one of the interesting things about what's going on in the world now is something is in here, in our system, in our thought and feeling system, our cultural system in the West, in North America in particular, and it's siphoning off huge amounts of energy. This is what creating worry and panic does, is it's an energy siphon. Now, that energy is constructive. You can build things with it, right? You can direct. You can do all kinds of things with that energy, that human energy, that emotional energy. It's very, very powerful, okay? I don't mean just magically. I mean in any way. It's very, very powerful. And the weird thing about the time we live in is there's all this energy siphoning. But I'll be damned if I can see where it's going and what it's building. It must be underground, literally and figuratively, whatever it is that they're building. The only thing I can bear witness to is that there is a massive energy harvest going on right now because everybody is panicky, nervous, and fearful. And that's energy seepage. And energy never dies. It just changes form, right? Einstein was right about that. I think he stole it from someone, but that's a whole other story. never dies, folks. It just changes form. So when you look back at like productive decades like the 70s and stuff, you can pretty much see everything that's going on in society. You know, everything like 80-90% of it is front and center. Right? You got the labor movement still going strong in the form of the American auto worker, and it's a whole, you youngsters who don't remember back to this time, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but I'm actually going to say this. I prefer the Cold War. I prefer living in the Cold War than living in the so-called unipolar world of American dominance right now. I actually prefer the Cold War, folks. I preferred the world in 1989 and before that. It seemed more balanced somehow, right? It was like the very existence of the Soviet Union forced them to treat us a little bit better, because there was always the chance that we could flip out and go communist, right? And I don't know, folks. I mean, the darkest world I've seen is the post-1989 world. The Cold War world was saner. It really was. I mean, it was different, you know. We also seemed to have a lot more money, despite the fact that we were in an active war, the Cold War. And unlimited amounts of money, untold amounts of money were being spent to fight the threat of the Soviet Union. And we don't even have that war anymore. And yet, there's all this money disappearing. You got to wonder what's going on here. You got to wonder who's running the show and what their goal is, right? That's all I'm saying. Who's running the show and what's their goal? I can't see it. You tell me what's being built right now. You tell me what the big project is. You tell me where all the money and the energy is going. And there's still a lot of money being siphoned out of the United States. Okay? It's a bleeding wound right now, right? It's just bleeding. Wounded animal. You're talking about your very survival now, folks, not about an election, okay? So this is the most alarming thing when I think about the Trump administration in the last like 3.5 years is I cannot see where this guy's energy is going. Do you know what I mean? I cannot see where his energy is going. What is he building? What is he supporting? I can see what he's tearing down, right? Part of it anyways, you know. Trying to tear down the deep state, he says. Trying to drain the swamp, he says. But I don't know if it's even possible. I don't know if he can even do it. I don't know if anybody even wants it at this point. Right? You know, I guess people want it, but I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I can't see anything going on here. I can't see what is being done here. And that's, as I start to think about it, alarms me a little bit, folks, okay? I don't know how to explain it. It just alarms me a little bit. Everybody's saying, well, wait for his second term. So that's where he's going to do all the work he promised in the first term. I don't know. No doubt in my mind he's going to win, right? No doubt in my mind he's going to win, because the decision now is whether to go to a radical new America that is more left of center than even Europe. And that's where the... That's where the other side wants to go, folks. They want to go left of Europe, right? Which is pretty much socialist, right? You know, social democracy, socialist. It's, you know, as soon as you start putting the word social into things and you start to spend government money on certain things, then, well, you got something's going on there. You know what I mean? Something's going on there. And there's... So... This is why I think Trump's going to win, is nobody wants to go that far. You know, nobody... I think this election is really about whether or not the United States persists as an ideal and an entity that has strived to be different and represent certain values and certain kinds of people in this human experiment, okay? And those people are the most independent. That was what it was always about. But I don't see how nanobots studying your fecal matter in wastewater is maintaining our independence. I just don't get it. It just gets creepier and creepier and creepier by the day. All right, enough of my Jack Kerouac improvisation here. We're going to get back to Whitney Webb. All right, so obviously this is leading up to something because all of Whitney Webb's stuff is leading up to something. So here we get to the bottom part of the story with the subheading, the biosurveillance state. Now listen to this, folks. This is where Whitney Webb earns her daily bread. In the wake of the September 11 attacks, the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and we all know what that is, right, folks? DARPA, in close collaboration with the U.S. intelligence community, began developing pre-crime approach to combating terrorism known as Total Information Awareness, or TIA. TIA. Before the plan was disbanded just months after its launch, due to widespread concerns that it would erode the right to privacy and civil liberties in general, TIA included a program called biosurveillance. Yeah, I'm not making this up, folks. These are some of the words being traded and bandied about in the intelligence community now, folks. Biosurveillance. The TIA biosurveillance program was aimed at developing necessary information technologies and resulting prototype capable of detecting the covert release of biological pathogen automatically and significantly earlier than traditional approaches, accomplishing this by monitoring non-traditional data sources, including pre-diagnostic medical data and behavioral indicators. Yeah. While nominally focused on bioterrorist attacks, TIA biosurveillance also sought to acquire early detection capabilities for normal disease outbreaks that could eventually be automated. As the nonprofit AFCEA wrote of the program in 2003, the biosurveillance effort largely is focused on mining and studying unconventional data sources, such as over-the-counter sales of medicines and foods associated with illnesses and levels of school absenteeism. Researchers are examining a range of different data sources coupled with more conventional information used in epidemiology to provide early warning and detection of bioterrorism events as well as natural disease outbreaks. Given what this article has shown, HHS Protect and its more recent foray into wastewater surveillance appears to be a convenient retooling of a post 9/11 program, TIA, that was so egregiously invasive that the Senate shut it down after significant public outcry. This seems especially likely given the outsized role of Palantir, a government contractor deeply linked to the CIA, and the fact that HHS Protect, which Palantir is helping to manage, has been kept away from public scrutiny. While the fear of terrorism in the years that followed 9/11 was insufficient to ensure the official continuation of TIA and its programs, including biosurveillance, many of its components were covertly handed off to various U.S. intelligence agencies and contractors. Conveniently for those in government who enthusiastically backed TIA and its secretive successors, the current coronavirus crisis has brought public fear to heights near to what it was in late 2001. Unbelievable, eh, folks? Unbelievable. Yet in contrast to the aftermath of 9/11, the invisible enemy is no longer a faceless terrorist hiding in caves abroad, but a microbe that may dwell anywhere in our environment or within our bodies. While post-9/11 surveillance was officially aimed at intercepting terrorist communications before an attack could transpire, the surveillance push we are seeing today under the guise of fighting COVID-19 increasingly seeks to monitor what is going into, out of, and happening within our very bodies. And there you have it, folks. There you have it. There is the story of biomedical surveillance. Wastewater surveillance, folks. You can't make this up, okay? This is General Ripper stuff. Remember the General Ripper character in the Doctor Strangelove movie? How it was, we all laughed. Remember that? We laughed at it. You know, mineshaft gap, all of these sorts of things. I don't know what to say, folks. Let's just play a little Radiohead here for a moment. My personal opinion that Radiohead is indifferent or unaware of biosurveillance. Yeah, you see, I don't know what I'm trying to get at today, but you know, this is extremely disturbing material, and I don't know, when I look at this stuff, folks, and you know, people talk about like an alien presence. The intelligence that is designing these programs seems alien to me, right? It doesn't seem human. It doesn't, and I guess you could say that's just an offset of the technology, right? Because it's all rooted in technology and artificial intelligence, or what they're calling artificial intelligence, which really, folks, is nothing more than massive data sets and good algorithms that simulate decision-making process. That's all it's doing at this stage, okay? And if AI becomes anything more than that, it's either going to be the merger of a non-corporeal consciousness with a synthetic brain, one version, or it's going to be the old, you know, demonic possession of the Catholics. It's where you're going to take a human body and you're going to bring another intelligence into that. Okay, those are the only two ways that I can see AI working. But both involve the merger of consciousness and technology. That living... That thing that even the Anunnaki used to develop us, that life spark, that individuality, that I am, we are. That's the thing. See you on the other side, folks. Take some calls if you want to call in.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Looking good, looking good. Hi, I am looking good. Ah, hello, folks. Karl Marx here. I was just taking some selfies. I look particularly good today. The humidity is just right for my hair. One more. Okay, two more. Ah, wunderbar. Looking good, Karl.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
I'm Bruce McDonald, and this is McDonald in the Morning. It's 9:31 a.m., Friday, October 9th, my time, which is Southern Costa Rica, Talamanca Mountains, UNESCO Heritage Site. I'm a man living in nature. I'm a free man on land, literally. Yeah, that's who's talking to you. Now, I've received information from the front lines, folks. I have one of my correspondents out in the world who texted me during the break and told me, Nancy Pelosi just held a press conference, and she's invoking the 25th Amendment. I'm gonna look this up real quick because I don't wanna steer you Americans wrong here. So I'm just gonna do my due diligence and look this up. And let's see, 25th Amendment simplified. Yeah, that's the one I want. The 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution says that if the president becomes unable to do his job, the vice president becomes the president. This can happen for just a little while if the president is just sick or disabled for a short term. What? Because he got the COVID? He's already all better. Like, I do not get this. What is going on here, folks? This is extremely disturbing. I do not know what to say here, man. I do not know what to say. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody have any updates on this? Anybody? That is mind-boggling, man. Mind-boggling. Who would do such a thing? Huh? Who would do such a thing? Look, am I losing my mind here? Okay? Like, I don't understand any of this, folks. I really don't. And maybe that's my cue to get off the bus, right? Because I think this bus is going to Arkham Asylum, which, if you're not a Batman fan, is where they put all the criminally insane. I don't get it. I don't get anything that they're doing, okay? So here's my backroom strategizing if I were talking about this. Now, what am I lacking? I'm lacking an immediate and intimate sense of the public mind in the United States because I don't live there. I don't hear coffee shop chatter. I don't hear subway chatter. I don't hear all the information that you people hear. And not through the media, but just the sort of word on the street, right? That's really what tells you what's going on in a society. I don't have that. I don't live there anymore. But with that said, what I'm saying is this. I don't understand how people can't see through this. I mean, come on, man. He didn't really win the election. They started with that, like, let's try a recount or something like this, right? Then they moved right on to the Russia hoax. That was the next thing, right? Russia hoax. Then they moved to the impeachment. I don't know if I can play that, though, Jimmy. I don't think I have the bandwidth, man. I don't think I have the bandwidth on my computer right now. It's my last week of the internet before I get the renewal. Well, actually, it's 2 days till I get my new contract. But here's the more interesting question. Why would they want Mike Pence operating as the president for a short period of time? Like, why? Why is there such a focus on vice presidents in this race? You know, whether it be Kamala Harris or Mike Pence through the 25th Amendment. None of this is adding up to me, folks. If anybody's got a take on this, give me a call. 864-810-1039. I want to hear your thoughts. I haven't heard Pelosi's speech. I don't have time to stop my show and listen to it, nor could I play it right now, even if I wanted to. Although, I could be wrong there. I do not know. But if I try, and I'm right, what's going to happen is I'm going to gargle up my call. And it takes a while to get that restored to normal, so I'm probably going to resist the temptation to do that. All right, so anyway, so you got the stuff on the health and all the, you know, the biology and all of this sort of stuff, right? And we got that from Whitney Webb, and you know, folks, look, I'm just gonna have to speak to this situation here as best I see it, okay? So, I'm going to explain, or try, as best I can. I'm going to try. That's all I can do is try. I'm going to try to explain to you how psychic energy is corralled and used, okay? And psychic energy is extremely important. It's basically, it's intentional energy, and it can seep out of a human being in a number of ways, positively and negatively. You know, you can open up your energy and disperse your energy into the world. Human beings are remarkably powerful beings, folks. This is what they don't want you to know, is how much power you have. The biggest conspiracy on this planet is the conspiracy to shut down the human being. Our potential, our limitless potential. That's the only conspiracy that's been going on this planet since we came into a period of relative somewhat independence, right? Which is, we're kind of in that now. It's, I mean, we're still controlled in different ways, but we're in a period now where we're as close to independent as we've ever been. Okay? They are manufacturing tensions in you now. They are literally doing this on purpose. They are manufacturing these tensions in you. I mean, if you're American now, you're not allowed to think about anything but chaos, explosions, end of the world, all of these sorts of things that are playing into the American mindset. And especially the American Christian mindset, okay? And especially the American white Christian mindset. This is what's being attacked here. This is psychological warfare here, folks, okay? They're trying to get you into some kind of crazy mode here. And it's just nonstop. It's absolutely incessant. And they just go and they go and they go and they go. And they just do not stop, these people. It's not in their nature, folks. They're not going to stop. They would have to be stopped, right? So, you know, you can take a large group of human beings and you can control that group with a smaller group of human beings if they're well-trained. So I always go back to the June 2010 G20 summit in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which has become a textbook case taught at police academies and police training centers all over the world, okay, for how the Canadian police handled hundreds of thousands of protesters. Do you guys remember that? I mean, do you remember that? You know, it's very interesting now. Yeah, there's a vein of thought here. One moment. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting how this energy, the directed energy, the emotional energy of the American public. It's very interesting to watch how it has changed in the last 5 years. It's almost pre-Trump and post-Trump, right? I mean, Trump came in 2016. All through the 2000s and the early 2000s and the teens. One of the big things going on in the world, folks, was anti-globalization movements. Do you remember that? Started in Seattle, like around just after 9/11 was the first really big rally against globalization. And it became a really big thing. Mm-hmm. Really, really big thing indeed. It was on the news. It was covered by a lot of people. It was just everywhere, man. Everywhere. It kind of culminated in a lot of ways, especially if you're Canadian, in the June 2010 G20 summit. And it was, I got to tip my hat off to the cops, man. It was a masterstroke in policing. They did all kinds of things that, you know, they go way back to how they used to control crowds in Roman times and stuff. Kettling. Look up kettling, how to kettle a crowd. They set up impromptu prisons, right? Like just these big fenced areas down by the docks in Toronto where thousands of people could be detained. And they threw them all in there. And they were using 5-gallon buckets as bathrooms. And there was no separation of men or women or anything. It's just a giant impromptu prison. They wrote a piece of legislation that stated that a certain area, and it was actually measured off by streets, a certain area in the downtown core of Toronto where the G20 summit was taking place at various hotels, all rights and liberties extended to Canadian citizens were null and void for the 72 hours of the summit. Meaning if you crossed the fence and you stepped into that part of Toronto, Ontario, Canada in June 2010, you were ostensibly living under martial law. You got that? Canada is kind of a pioneering country in martial law. We deployed it effectively in the early 70s by Justin Trudeau's father, Pierre Trudeau, the ultimate French aristocrat, which is why every Anglo in Canada hates Frenchmen, Pierre Trudeau. There's the secret reason. You've caught me in a moment of abject honesty on Friday, October 9th in the morning, 9:42 a.m. I'm under coffee and I spilled out the truth. Yeah, it was Pierre Trudeau. But when you look at the dynamic of group consciousness and protesting pre-Trump, all of these alignments have gone wonky. Like the anti-globalization people, those hundreds of thousands of millennials, which I assume now are with Antifa, why didn't they join Trump? He's anti-globalist. What part of what Trump is doing do they not get? What force got into them and perverted their thinking so that this commonality in the Trump presidency would be fractured generationally? What happened there? I don't get it. Whoever did this, whoever put Trump in, one of the things that we've never looked at as we analyze Trump is this context I'm giving right now today, which is that there is a massive change in the alignment of protest and discontentment in North American society. It used to be much more uniformly left and right, much more predictable. Right? Trump comes in, what happens, man? What happened to all that anti-globalization muscle at the G20 summits, man? All the Seattle beatniks, all the hair bun men. What the hell happened to that? Just went away, man, after Obama. It just went away. And in this regard, the left, I think, I'll give the left credit for this, okay? In this regard, the left has been absolutely brilliant in their harvesting of groupthink in the American population, in their ability to go in and carve out those people who should be supporting Trump because they were going to G20 summits before that. Am I the only one who remembers this? Do you remember this when people would dress in black? It was like a foreshadowing of Antifa. And most of their focus was on the G20. But somehow Trump became their focus and America became their focus. Rather than looking at a global phenomenon, it suddenly became a national phenomenon. Orange man bad, must get him out of the office. Could that be the real genius and the real utility of Donald Trump? Could that be why he was brought into power? To effect this seismic shift in the direction of human energy and groupthink? To make America go from a country that was opposing globalization to a country that was opposing itself? I mean, what don't you like about Trump if you're anti-globalist? What don't you like? It kind of makes you wonder, right? Like what people are really thinking. Like what were those people truly supporting? The ones who went to the G20 summits and the Bilderberg meetings. You know? Talking about like Dan, whatever his name is, the guy from Press for Truth, that independent media outlet in Canada. He's done a pretty good job, makes a living at it. Bilderbergers and G20s. That's how Alex Jones got his start too, didn't he? Remember what we were thinking 10 years ago? It's interesting to think back, okay? It's very interesting to think back. Very interesting to note what it was that we were supporting 10 years ago. Because it's not the same thing now. Something came in and realigned our energies. But the intent and the outcome are not lining up anymore. They got everybody aiming their guns with a mirror over their shoulder. Nobody really knows what they're shooting at anymore. Donald Trump has created more confusion in the United States and the world than anything else anybody could have done. He's a confusion-generating machine. Am I for Trump? Am I against Trump? Like, what's going on here? What do I say here? What's going on with this Trump guy? Why is that? How did he become such a polarizing figure? Right? And why did so many alliances... Is it that people don't understand what Trump's doing? Is it because the hatred of the Christian right is so great in the anti-globalist left that they can't find an alignment with the Trump people? But ideologically, stay with me here, folks. This is a very important point to realize. Ideologically, they're all on the same page. But now they're separate in Trump's America. They're fighting each other in Trump's America. How did that happen? What failure has there been in the Trump team's message to allow that to happen? Or am I wrong here completely? Are the G20 people secretly supporting Trump? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. Why is so much of the money spent on national defense spent on spying, surveilling, recording, documenting, and medically diagnosing the people in certain geographic areas? Why is that going on? Huh? Am I the only one who sees the whole thing as a bit spooky, a bit alien? Does it not seem alien? The relationship between the government and the population now, it seems a bit alien to me. Seems absolutely a bit alien. Something epic is afoot in the background here, folks, of the so-called civilized world. Something epic is going on in the background here, in the fourth dimension, in the unseen world. Some great realignment is happening that we can't quite comprehend now. The flow of energy is all different now, completely different. It's a whole other reality. Whole other thing altogether now, man. What's going on here? I'm not even sure I understand it anymore. Like, I don't understand it, right? You know, the American political process has distilled itself to this moment in history. I don't think Donald Trump realizes the corner he painted himself into. I don't think it's possible for him to make a truce, a deal. I don't think it's possible. Because I think on some level he has gathered up a lot of that energy that wanted change, including the G20 people. And because he promised it, he has to deliver it now. Or the consequence of that failure to deliver would be epic. Absolutely epic. I've never seen anything like this in my life, folks. Never heard of anything like this in my life. To that group of people who say this is business as usual, just another psyop, we're still being played, there's directors and producers in the background, it's a drama. There's a lot of people like that now in the alternative media. An emerging group of critical thinkers within the alternative media. I'd like to see that all fleshed out. Like, who are the parties? But what's the new conspiracy, man? Who's running things? What's their plan? How do you give this a context and a face so we can all understand it? Because I don't see it. I see chaos in motion, man. I see nobody in charge. Chaos in motion. Functioning chaos. Order out of chaos. That's what they do, right? That's their motto. Order out of chaos. New world order. Coming up. Would you like to supersize that? New world order coming right up, folks. Got this big Davos economic reset, which seems to be beating Trump to the punch, right? Yeah. If Trump's part of that, is he realigned himself with a globalist movement? I don't know. There's more questions than there are answers right now, folks. Way more questions than answers. Way more. Can't make any sense of this myself. Can't make any real sense of it at all. It's bizarre, it's perplexing, it's confusing. I don't get it. I defy anybody to make sense out of it. I defy them. It ain't there, man. There ain't any sense to be made out of this. There's no logical narrative that could give this any kind of body or context that would make sense to me or to you. If you think you understand this, folks, you're kidding yourself, man. There is no understanding this. There's no understanding this at all. Yeah, nobody's got the reins of this wagon team, man. Yeah. Nobody. I have a missive here. Pelosi plan A, steal election and declare Biden senile and install Harris as the POTUS. Plan B, if Trump wins offer, if Trump wins, offer Pence the POTUS position if he declares Trump unfit. She thinks she has enough dirt on Pence to plan along. Yeah, I hear that, but the problem is that the we hate Trump crowd, the like Trump out of office at any price crowd, all it's really done is it's incensed the people who support Trump. Like if they really don't want him to do something, it must be something we want him to do. Right? Again, it's like the G20 summit, like, you know. Who are Pelosi and her people now? Are they the globalists? Are they the people who were going to the Bilderberg in the G20 summit? And Trump is the protesters on the outer side, but they've got control now? Like somebody please explain to me, who's who now? Who's who? Because I don't get it. Who's who? Who's the good guy again? Who the bad guy? Be damned if I can figure this out. Anyways, this is Revolution Radio Studio A. I'm Bruce McDonald. This has been McDonald in the Morning. Always a pleasure. Another week under my belt here. We're an entirely listener-supported station, and that means we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. If you want to be a part of supporting this station, please go to freedomslips or freedomslips.com, depending on your spelling or pronunciation, or revolution.radio, one of those two uniform resource locators, one of those two URLs, and click on the Patreon button, and the rest will be self-explanatory. Yeah. We got Gizzy Maxwell in custody, Kitty Diddler Supreme, right? Evil Israeli Alliance. Is the second semester where the Israeli deep state gets busted open? Is that what's going on? Is that at the root of all this? Entirely possible. That seems to be where Ghislaine Maxwell would be leading. I don't know why none of her material was used prior to the election. That's interesting in and of itself. Yeah. Interesting in and of itself. Yeah. Friday, October 9th, 9:56 a.m. my time, 11:56 a.m. your time in New York or Toronto or Detroit. And that's McDonald in the Morning for today. You folks be well. Take care. We'll see you Monday. Have a great week.
Listening to Revolution.